Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on campusinessradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and no one. Jules has abandoned ship and gone on holiday to Spain, and he's probably, what's the time now? It's 1 o'clock here, 2 o'clock in Spain. She must be four bottles down by now, I would have thought, if she's on form. So I hope you're okay. Jules, stay away from the edge of the swimming pool. Penny Williams, who is the co-presenter for today's show, is unfortunately behind a tractor at the moment, somewhere out on Romney Marsh. She has just texted me saying, I will be here, I will be here, I will be here. So she'll be joining us shortly. But anyway, we can crack on, because all we need is you, the listeners, the businesses of Kent and South East England. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. You can get in contact with us in a number of ways. You can call us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us on air and to interact is by tweeting me at VanillaWeb. So do drop me a tweet at VanillaWeb. We have already had over 60 tweets, and we've only been live 30 seconds. But do keep them coming. We'd love to hear from you. And we've got loads of emails to read. So thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. As I say, Penny will be with us shortly, and we've got two fabulous guests to talk to, Emily and Stuart, who will be coming to do later. We've also got three interviews that we recorded, Jules recorded, because she doesn't like, even though she's on holiday, she doesn't like to not be the centre of attention. So since she's been away, she's sent me loads of things to make sure she gets her voice back on the air and talking over me and interrupting me, because that's what she does best. We have got three interviews that we recorded live last week at the Kent Business Show at the Ashford International Hotel. If you remember, we did a live broadcast from there, and we had so many people that wanted to talk to us, we ran out of time, so we recorded some of them. So we're going to be hearing from Valerie Laporte, Sonia Wood, and Christian Jackson later on in the show in recorded interviews done with Jules. But for the moment, I'm going to start off reading a tweet, and we've had a tweet from Mr. Harry Covert, and Harry has said, Vanilla Web, can you please give a shout out for vicarspicnic.co.uk? I hate to think what I'm reading here. And everybody in the studio is looking at me in wide-eyed amazement, thinking, what's coming next? The vicarspicnic.co.uk, and give us a plug. It's in Yalding on the 30th of August, and tickets are on sale from this weekend at the Yalding Farmers Market. So if you want to attend vicarspicnic.co.uk, I have no idea what the Vicar's Picnic actually is, but I'm sure if we have a quick look at the website at some point later today, we'll find out. But if you want to go to the Vicar's Picnic, you can buy your tickets at the Yalding Farmers Market, and the Vicar's Picnic actually takes place on the 30th of August. So do check that out. We've also had a tweet from AK Pet Services, Mr. Adrian Kearney, who provides pet taxi and ambulance services in the Medway area, who says, happy Tuesday, great to be listening to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you for that, Adrian, and thank you for joining us. We've also had Lee from Ancorians Football Club, who says, we're listening to the Business Bunker on Campus's Radio, to Vanilla Web and Penny from 1 p.m. today. So thank you for joining. Belinda Raitt, who is known on the Twitter as About Talent. She says, hi, Paul. Please could you mention the workshop on your show today? Thanks very much. And it's whataboutcashflow.eventbrite.co.uk. So that's the booking information for a workshop on, I'm guessing, about cash flow. And it's whataboutcashflow.eventbrite.co.uk. As always, with everything you hear on the Business Bunker Show, we will put a link on the Kent Business Radio website so that you can follow up and find these web links after the show. But for those that want to know, you can either follow Belinda at About Talent on the Twitter, or you can go straight to the booking website, which is aboutcashflow.eventbrite.co.uk. And she says, have a good show. Thank you for that, Belinda, and lovely to hear from you. We've also had a tweet from McBride's Accountants, and they say, Vanilla Web, we have best-selling author Philip Hesketh, who is the guest speaker at McBride's Finance and Breakfast on Wednesday at 8 a.m. At 8 a.m. on the topic of persuasion. So that's guest speaker Philip Hesketh at the McBride's meeting at 8 a.m. talking about persuasion. The only thing I don't know from that tweet is actually where it is. And I'm sure they couldn't fit it into 140 characters. So I suggest if you're interested in finding out about that, you actually follow them on the Twitter, and their Twitter handle is McBride's LLP. McBride's LLP. That's M-C-B-R-I-D-E-S L-L-P. McBride's LLP. And you can find out about their event on Wednesday morning with guest speaker, author Philip Hesketh. Also, just to let you know, those of you that don't know, our listeners out there, Channel Radio and the Business Bunker Show is based at Hagelands Farm down here on Romney Marsh. And as of last weekend, the Family Fun Centre was open again for the summer. So if you're looking for something to do during the summer with the kids and all that, come down to Hagelands Farm. I'm going to run through the things that are available here and are open now. There's Domination Paintball, where you just turn up and kill each other or something. I may have got that a bit wrong, but you know what I mean. There's the Maze, where you can get lost for the summer, or you can at least lose the kids for the summer, which is fairly attractive, I would have thought. There's the Fun Yard, which has tractor and trailer rides, bouncy castle, giant Jenga, football games, skittles, giant sandpits, alpaca trekking, vegetable garden, picnic area, and loads, loads more. There's farm shops, there's a small petting zoo, there's Channel Radio, and there's a bistro. And admission prices are admission £7 for juniors up to 14 years of age. Senior citizens are £6, or you can get a family ticket for four people of £20. And that's all at Hagelands Village, which is on the A259 between Hythe and Dymchurch, just outside Burmarsh. So do come down, say hi to us in Channel Radio, and let the kids run wild with the alpacas, llamas, and all the other stuff that you can find here. Good stuff. Do you know what? I think what we'll do is we'll play one of the interviews that Jules did last week, because I miss her voice. I miss her moaning at me. So I think we'll play Jules's interview at the Kent Business to Business event last Tuesday, and we'll play her interview with Mr. Christian Jackson.
Christian Jackson has come up to the Business Bunker Stand 22, and he is a support Apple expert, I'll have you know. Christian, you've just moved from London down to Kent. What kind of stuff do you help people with?
We're really big on iPad deployments in schools at the moment, but Apple support specialists, bit of training, curriculum experts, but mainly big on the Apple iPad deployment at the moment.
So are you finding that more and more schools are using iPads for their children?
Yeah, it's absolutely massive. I mean, we're deploying hundreds of iPads, you know, a week now. But yeah, I mean, the iPad is the leading brand, and, you know, we're really big in supporting that.
I'm even hearing about young children in cots having iPads, sort of two-year-olds doing that, and I know you've got a young nipper on the way, so would you be giving your baby an iPad?
Probably not.
You'll be reading them a storybook.
Yeah, I should think so. I mean, there's been some news lately saying that that's actually, you know, the digital stuff can actually harm
development.
Well, yeah, development and communication. Mm. So no, I think it's perhaps a bad idea at a really young age.
I think I agree with you, and I think it's sort of, you can see when I look at a laptop, I'm using a different part of my brain than when I'm tucked up with my daddy reading me The Three Bears. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can still be a useful tool, but I think you still need some of the traditional methods.
Bit of Lego, never does anybody any harm. With schools, so sorry about the tannoy, but with the schools, do you find that, are people buying the iPads from you, or do they get them themselves and then you just go in and put them in?
Well, we're not an authorised reseller or anything like that, but we do work with all of the authorised resellers around London. So schools can buy it independently, but if they want us to help get a competitive quote, we know them all, so we can usually drill down prices quite a bit.
I'm sorry about this man, I may have to shoot him on the tannoy. Anyone would think we were at an exhibition, wouldn't they? Now, you also do, how do you get the Apple, your Apple, what's the word, accredited? How did you get that?
Sorry, how do we get the accreditation?
Yeah. Oh. I'm really interested, because it's quite rare.
Well, yeah, there's not many places that do the accredited training, but one of the leading places that do the training is a company called AMSIS, and they're actually based in Kent as well. They're really well known in the sort of Apple training world, but yeah, I did my accreditation with them.
Well done. I know that you work across in America as well. What kind of stuff do you do with American?
Not America, it's Europe. We've done a few European projects. Basically, one of the London local authorities won a bid, and we did a bit of programming, disability projects it was. And so I was lead developer. So, yeah, quite big on the programming as well.
Excellent. And can you just give us a shout for, I know you've got a lot of websites, but just give us your main one, 3Ws dot?
support-expert.co.uk.
Thank you, Christian Jackson. And I always get Europe and the USA mixed up. I don't know why. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Sonia Wood is from the eco-friendly washroom solution, which is called EcoSan. And Paul, I'm going to read out the website, which is, oh, it's not on there, hang on. I'm going to flip the card over. 3ws.ecosan.co.uk. The clue is in the san, sanitary. So what kind of stuff are you doing? You're based in Ashford, I can see, at the Hilton Business Centre. Sonia, what kind of stuff are you doing?
Well, we specialise in eco-friendly washroom solutions, which are our core businesses, sanitary and nappy disposal, and we try and dispose of the waste in the most eco-friendly way. We also offer things like eco-friendly air fresheners, so as well as the traditional aerosol, non-aerosol types, and we've got our own laundry. And we specialise in dust mats that are made from recycled fishing nets. So they're mats that are designed to trap dirt on the entrance of a building, and 80% of dirt that comes into a building is on people's feet. So it obviously helps to improve the environment and also helps with the wear and tear on the actual flooring within the building.
That's fantastic. When you say you dispose of this sanitary objects in a eco-friendly way, are you able to tell us any trade secrets?
Obviously, rather than sending waste to landfill, we try and find alternative routes. We're currently looking at RDF, which is refuse-derived fuel, which means that it actually goes into cement kilns and actually helps in the manufacture of cement.
And your own role, you're a director, Sonia, so do you go out and meet businesses, or do you have underlings that do that?
I like to have a hands-on approach, so I actually like to be at the sharp end of the business. So I go out, I help to develop new business, I help to maintain long-term partnerships with existing clients, and I'm always looking at new ways to innovate and drive the business forward.
What about a hand dryer? Are you doing anything with hand dryers?
Yes, we do high-speed hand dryers. We do, obviously, competitors to the main sort of number one dryer, which is probably the Dyson. We do high-speed dryers that dry the hands in 10 to 15 seconds, are eco-friendly, and obviously are very cost-effective and, you know, kind on your pocket.
Fantastic, Sonia. Thank you for that. And as I said, Sonia is the director of ecosan.co.uk, based in Ashford. And, oh, yes, I've got to remind you about the ball, which you've got a guest presenter, haven't you?
We have, yes. Paul is going to come and be one of our...
Paul who?
Paul Andrews is going...
Snake
to
hips himself.
Yes, indeed. He's going to be one of the compares at our summer charity gala ball, along with Caddy Lee Preston.
Wow, he loves the weather girl.
Oh, well, it'll be all his Christmases come at once, and hopefully it's not going to rain.
It'll be a breeze.
Yep, the sun will shine down on us.
So this is, what's the date? It's for the Fields of Life, and it's on Saturday the 9th of July, as Sonia said, at 7 p.m. Tickets are £60 a person, and it's at the Kent Suite at this very hotel, the Ashford International. So there's going to be prizes. Oh, Pims. I'm in Spain, darling. It's maybe worth me getting a coach back. Sumptuous three-course meal with wine and surprise celebrities. Is Paul Andrews one of the surprise celebrities?
Well, yes, I guess he could be a surprise, some would say. Yeah, we've also got some celebrity lookalikes as well, which are world number one celebrity lookalikes, which is really exciting.
So that means Fagin will be there, because he does look like Paul Andrews.
Absolutely. We've also got, we're very privileged to have the Mandy Ellen Performing Arts coming. Mandy Ellen Dancing School is based in Maidstone, and historically the girls have got through to the semi-finals on Britain's Britain's Got Talent, and they're currently going to be dancing in Las Vegas with a troupe of girls representing the UK. So they're the first dancing school to sort of go over, and the only dancing school to be representing the UK in Las Vegas. And some of their girls are going to be coming and dancing on the night, so that will be amazing. I'm also singing, which is rather scary.
Really? What do you sing?
I'm singing Nessun Dorma.
Oh my goodness. Well, yes. that is tough.
Yes, so, you know, there's nothing like, you know, putting yourself in for a bit of a challenge, but it's all for a good cause. It's for Fields of Life. Fields of Life are a charity that have been going around 20 years, and they specialise in providing aid to post-war Africa, and we're looking to raise enough money to build a well for a small village in Uganda, providing fresh drinking water for the villagers, which is something that everybody really should be entitled to. But Fields of Life do some amazing work. They build schools, they provide support and help and education, and the idea is to help break that poverty cycle so that the children that are growing up there can actually break that cycle and move on and have a better life and a better future for their children.
And it's all about, as far as I've read on the charity, is that you're helping the African people to actually help themselves. Rather than taking handouts, you're actually helping them to be more self-sufficient.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's the idea, to give them the tools, and with the money that we raise to build the well, the well will be maintained for 20 years, so the villagers then can go and can actually have access to fresh water, because it's the biggest killer in under fives. It kills more than malaria and HIV put together.
You need to hook up with my husband. I'll tell you after the interview, but if you follow on Twitter, at Frontier Funds, F-U-N-D-S, he's writing a big book with Wiley Publishing, and it could be that you could hook up with some sponsorship there, all about Africa. And he told me, I mean, it should be that everybody has access to fresh drinking water. So thank you, Sonia. Now, to get in touch about the ball, you can go to inquiries@ecosandservices.co.uk, and the office telephone number, get your pen, is 01233 646 229. So thank you, Sonia, and I'm sure Paul Anders will do you a lovely job with his speech. I'm standing outside where it's a little bit cooler at the B2B, and I'm with Valerie Laporte, who is a translator. And she says that translating isn't just about swapping one word for another in a foreign language. It's about the integrity of your brand. So, Valerie, you've come for the day.
Yeah, I've come for the day, yes.
Where do you live?
I live in Arras, which is in the north of France, and I've lived 10 years in the UK before that.
Wow, where did you live in the UK?
Cambridge and London.
Okay. And what is Arras? Is it a big city?
It's a rather big city, yes, in the north of France, and a historical city, and a lot of English people love to visit, yes. Actually.
I'm sure I've been. And how do we spell it?
A-R-R-A-R-R-A-S.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've been there and enjoyed a very nice French time. So you have two options here. Tell me about your two options.
Well, with translation, usually you pay on a per word basis, and we found that people say, okay, how much are that going to cost me to translate my whole website? And we always had difficulties to answer that question, so we put some packages together, translation packages, so people know there's only one off fee, and they know how much it's going to cost them to translate their own website. Or we've got a business package as well to translate your terms and conditions, contracts, a newsletter, and we've got a marketing package as well to translate your flyers, your brochures, whenever you want to market your products abroad.
This is amazing. So you can get, for example, up to 4 pages of your website translated into one language.
That's right. And we offer 15 languages or more. So
you're so multi-talented. Do you do it all yourself, Valerie?
No, I don't do it all myself. I translate English, French and German, and my colleague does Italian and Spanish. But we've got a network of certified translators work for us and with us. And so with all of them, we can offer more than 15 languages.
I love this. And I love the suit and tie option, which is a sales contract, terms and conditions contract, one company brochure and one company newsletter. I would think that's very popular.
It is very popular. It's a package we like selling, because when you get to sell your products abroad, what you first have to translate is your sales contract. So obviously, and your terms and conditions are very important too. So we put that package together for people who are ready really to market their products abroad.
And then the other one is the marketing mite, which is one advertising copy or press release, one direct mail piece, one flyer or one sales presentation. Where is my tongue?
Where is mine?
So this sounds fantastic. Now I'm going to read out the website. It's www.valerielapotre.com. So that's Valerie spelt V-A-L-E-R-I-E and then L-A-P-O-T-R-E.com.
That's right, yes.
That's the way to get hold of you.
That's the way to get hold of me.
In any language.
In any language. You can also find me on Skype, on LinkedIn, on Facebook.
Fantastic. Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you very much.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show. That was Jill Serkin at last week's Kent B2B interviewing three of the visitors there. And very interesting it was too. Hey, guess who just walked in? The brown eyed girl herself. Hello, Pen.
Hello, Paul.
How are you doing?
I'm so sorry.
No,
sorry,
all right.
Listeners.
You're right.
You've had to put up with Paul on his own.
I know. How sad is that? You're okay.
I'm okay, but I have had lots of challenges. Tunbridge Wells to here is a much longer way than I thought.
It's not good, is it?
No.
We do put this in an out of the way place just to
and
make
sure. And the tractors are out.
I know, they are in force. Actually, I normally blame you this time of year, because you normally have a little event that makes me follow various tanks, landing craft and every other bloody thing around here.
Well, I was really pleased to say that coming off the M20 at Folkestone Racecourse, there was no traffic.
Right, no tanks at all.
No tanks
yet. It was a
yet.
Tank rezone.
But they are on their way.
Yeah, some of the people in the studio are looking at me blankly. At Folkestone Racecourse, what used to be Folkestone Racecourse just over there, is the War and Peace show. Which Penny's heavily involved in, and at this time of year we get blocked in by all kinds of military hardware, but it was a tractor this time.
Three
tractors. Good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, Pen, why don't you read us an email?
Okay, I'm starting off with Kent Creative Arts. They've got quite a few events coming up actually, but next week, Friday the 25th, 9:30 to 12:30 at the Horsebridge Centre, Horsebridge Road, Whitstable, is a creative arts, says the programme but doesn't actually have a title. So it's about blogging and boosting your business, a card swap, so a bit of a networking event, and then an opportunity for attendees to discuss a project or prototype idea, overall a networking event on Friday the 25th of July. And then they also have their ideas test, which is on Tuesday the 22nd of July, which is legal issues for creatives. That's 9:30 to 12:30 again at the Alexander Centre, this time in Faversham.
Cool. Good. Thank you for that. We've got quite a few more tweets coming in. We've had a tweet from JR Car Parts, and that's spelt J-A-Y-A-R, JR Car Parts on the Twitter. And they say, hi, Paul, we have an open day at JR at Herne Bay Branch tomorrow, and they have the Kent Firefighters race team, and Racing Mini will also be there, so do get along to that. That's JR Car Parts in Herne Bay, and the Firefighters race team will be there. I happen to know a bit about the Firefighters race team, and while we're talking about them,
I'd like to
I'm sure you would. And while we're talking about them, I've got an email about it here as well, and we've also got a blog on the Kent Business Radio website about this. The Firefighters Race Team is a group of firefighters led by Dave Franks at the Kent Fire and Rescue Service, based at Herne Bay Fire Station. And then they began back in 2013 to dream of building a track car with some friends to enjoy some racing at local Kent-based track events. Dave was not new to the idea of buying and restoring a car, already having done a 1985 Mark III Mini. From his knowledge and love of the classic vehicle, he got a group of friends together to invest in the purchase of a 1978 Mini Mark III. This 35-year-old car was showing its age, but Dave's group had a vision and were confident they could build a track-worthy car from the shell. In February 2013, Dave spoke to his friends and expressed his interest in using the Mini to support fundraising for the Firefighters charity. which is what this is all about. Having already made some inquiries, they've highlighted some potential sponsorship ideas to not only restore the car, but to fully convert it into a race specification classic Mini. And from this meeting, the Firefighters Race Team was born. The Firefighters Race Team Mini will be used in various fundraising activities, including car shows, hill climbs, sprints, track days, as well as being entered into the Classic Sports Car Club, Special Saloon and Swinging 60s Race Championship. And that will be subject to team funding. And that's where you guys come in, the businesses of Kent, because these guys are obviously looking for some sponsorship. Motor racing is an expensive game, as I know to my own personal cost. It's an expensive game, and this is all for a brilliant cause, because all the money they raise out of this is for the Firefighters Benevolent Charity. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to their website, which is www.firefightersraceteam.com, and the link, all of these links are on the Kent Business Radio website, or you can go to their Facebook page, which is Firefighters Race Team, or you can follow them on the Twitter, which is Firefighters RT. Do follow them, do find out what it's all about, or if you go to the Kent Business Radio website and look at our blog pages, there is actually a blog all about it that tells you everything you need to know about the Firefighters Race Team. Do support them. It's a fabulous cause, and we would really love you to do something to help them, whatever that may be. We've also had a tweet from the Poacher and Partridge, and they say, can you come to our opening event on the 13th of September? I like people to give you a bit of notice. You can sign up to our newsletter at elitepubs.co.uk, or you can give us a tweet at Poacher and P Kent. That's Poacher and A-N-D P Kent. Poacher and Partridge. I think they're in Tunbridge Wells, I think. So do find out about them. And also, AM Marketing. Hi, Business Bunker. Hi, Paul. We're having a great show today, guys. Thank you. We're all listening in at AMHQ. That's AM Marketing. That's Amy and the team over there at AM Marketing. So thank you for listening in. And also, Sally for Laker, Sally for Cakes, is also listening in at the moment. And I don't know if our listeners remember, a couple of months ago, we had a competition on a Business Bunker show. And that competition was to win a day's video filming from a professional video company to support a charity. And Sally is heavily involved with the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and she entered the competition and they won. And that can't be bad, can it? And on Sunday, they actually did the film. So fabulous, well done to Justin Deem of Creative Motion, who did all the work. Thank you to the lovely folks at the Kent Deaf Children's Society and Mr. Maker. Now, my kids are really grown up now, so I don't know about this. Emily's looking for thumbs up. You know who Mr. Maker is. Apparently it's a CBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBBB and took a role in that. Is Phil someone or other is the actor that plays him, I think? Everyone's looking blankly at me.
I can't remember the actor's name.
No. But, anyway, he was part of the video, and you can see that video when they launch it fairly soon about the Kent Deaf Children's Society. So well done to all the people involved in that, especially to Justin Dean and his Creative Motion Company for offering that as a prize that has made a lot of difference to that small charity and their fundraising efforts. I'll tell you what, Pen, if you want to read another email and then we'll talk to our first guest, what do you reckon?
Marvellous.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from the lovely Leslie Bennett at IOD. She's the Kent branch manager. They've got an event next week at, I never quite know how to say this, Salomon's Estate, Tunbridge Wells. 25th of July in the evening, 7 till 10:30, for a summer evening and dinner. After a drink on the spectacular terrace, we will enjoy a three-course dinner with wine in the historic Science Theatre. We'll be polishing up our listening and communication skills with a former hostage negotiator and supporting blind children's charity RLSB. Mm. Members price, that's IOD members, £55, non-members £65, and we'll put the IOD Kent link on the website.
Fabulous. Thank you for that. Do you know what I think we'll do now? I think what we'll do is we'll play a record. I think that's what we'll do, bit of tunage, and then we'll come to our first guest, who's the lovely Emily. What do you reckon?
Sounds good to me.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yep.
I got a bit of level 42.
network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, welcome back. Level 42, Lessons in Love. That was quite nice, wasn't it?
Very good tunage.
A good bit of tunage, wasn't it? Yeah, lifted the lightened and loved the load and all that nonsense. Yeah, we've been having a bit of a traumatic day today. Anyway, it's all sweetness and light now, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Emily. Emily, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'd like to tell the listener about how I first met you in the flesh, as it were.
She's gone red.
Has she? Well, a couple of years ago, I own a business in Canterbury called 10x10 Labs, and 10x10 Labs is a lean startup incubator. And a couple of years ago, we had an open day where people could come and pitch their business ideas, and we had a group of myself and a group of my fellow angel investors, and we were looking at business plans. And Emily rocked up and gave a little talk on her business plans, which was made fascinating by two things. It was a Saturday in August, and it was a blisteringly warm day, as I remember. It was incredibly hot, and the event took place at my place in Canterbury, which is Fruitworks, which is a lovely Victorian warehouse for those of you that haven't been there. So it was all quite nice, and we got to Emily's pitch, and Emily, who had not very long before actually delivered of a girl child.
Boy.
A boy child had delivered of a boy child, and boy child was quite hungry. And although it was Emily's turn to pitch her business, boy child was not interested. So it's the first business pitch I've ever seen done by someone with a baby clamped to their bosom whilst doing it, and fascinating it was too.
Well, I would like to say, 2 years on full circle, that was quite a defining moment for me.
it was pretty traumatic for us as well, to be honest, Emily.
In terms of juggling business and being a mum, that was a complicated one. Mm. It's actually something I've just written in a guest blog post for Feminist Mum UK, who's based in Kent. If you want to set up your own business and you've decided to do it just when you've given birth to a tiny baby and you've got your one opportunity to pitch for investment, you kind of have to
you go for it, really. And very good it was too. It was a great pitch.
Thank you.
So tell us what's been happening to you since.
Since then, it's 2 years on, that particular pitch was just a bit of a throw myself in at the deep end. I actually at that stage hadn't completely defined exactly what my business plan was going to be. I had moved to Kent, decided that I definitely wanted to have my own business. I felt very strongly that I had the skills and knowledge to pass on to mothers, particularly, and fathers, on how to give their child the best start from reading from birth to five.
Can I just, sorry to interrupt you there, if I remember rightly, you have been working in publishing prior to that, had you not?
Yes, I had. I've been at Oxford University Press, the literacy publisher there, and before that at Pearson, and I worked as a commissioning editor for Ladybird Books. And my initial pitch actually was not directly at the parent audience, and that's where I've ended up, which is absolutely right. And one of the things that I learned from that particular day is, when you set up a business and you've got, you're an expert in something, stick to what you're good at and the people that you know. Mm. And that's how, basically I've come to where I am now.
Mm. Fabulous. So why don't you tell the listeners where you are now and what it is that you're doing and how you're doing it? Because it's a fabulous story. And that's a pun as well, isn't it? It's a fabulous story. And, it's just so different and just so interesting that I'm sure people will be blown away with it. So.
Well, thank you. I have to be honest, I was very ambitious and found myself in a situation when I had a baby that I got very confused, because I was ready very clearly for them to go into childcare almost immediately. I hadn't envisaged the whole process of being a mum. And I realised that the way that I wanted to balance my work life was that I wanted to be able to have my own business and,
work for myself and raise my family with my husband in the way that we wanted to. In doing that, I had been taking my children to various classes. There are a number of brands out there that do music and yoga for tiny children. But nobody actually has done anything in terms of giving children, as far as I know, the best start for reading from birth. And there's some wonderful things in the libraries and Sure Start centres and a lot of support from publishing houses and charities. But I realised that what was lacking was a very clear weekly fun programme. Nothing, you know, the things that I like to do where you'd get together with your friends, take the babies, and then you'd start actually delivering a very simple programme from birth. And we start, actually, we do our workshops, which have just started, which are Book Bumps, which is in pregnancy a one-off workshop.
Book Bumps. Like it. Book
and,
Bumps.
And then you move through to Book Babies from Birth.
Right.
Tots Talk and Tales, Get Set for Reading. And by the time you're 3+, you've got Get Set for School, which has a little passport for school.
Right.
With key skills that you do. And it's not about, you know, just phonics or trying to be, you know, really hard-edged. There's some very serious research out there that shows that children aren't being told the traditional nursery rhymes anymore, you know, the basic traditional tales. We're not actually giving children a chance to be listened to. Often, I'm very pro-technology, as you know, and as a woman, some people would say entrepreneur, however you want to describe it, social media and new technology has been absolutely critical to allow me to link to other parents, but also to opportunities like, for example, getting to know you and then Fruitworks and linking with other people in the business world. But at the end of the day, children need to read books, and people don't realise how, you know, the things that you can do right from that very, very early, from day one, really, you can start reading to your baby, and how to do it and what books to use. Mm. And we're also really interested in the research around sensory. Some people may have heard of it was a fabulous business. In fact, in Broadstairs, there's Helter Skelter do baby sensory there. And there are various really, really good franchises across the country and within Kent. But we realise the importance of sensory. And actually, there's a lot of research to show, you know, we've got sensory story time as something that we do. So when we tell stories with the babies, we're using herbs and we're really bringing that story to life to engage those early developmental cognitive skills.
Mm.
Yeah, basically that's what we do.
That's fabulous. It's fabulous. And there are so much and so many things you said in talking about that needs to be followed up with. It does annoy me when people get very black and white about things. Like, you know, you see, it's the Daily Mail normally, and they annoy me just by being there, but they write these silly stories that says, because of the internet, nobody reads anymore, blah, 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 blah. It's got nothing to do with that. It's a whole heap of different things, and technology can be used in any way you choose to deploy technology. For me, I'm an avid reader, and always have been, and as you know, I'm an avid techie geek as well, because I've always been a geek. But one of the things I was never going to do was have ebooks, because I just loved the feel of books. And about 3 years ago, I accidentally, and it was a pure accident, I wasn't paying attention, I accidentally downloaded a book rather than ordering a hard copy. And because I'd done it and paid for it, I read it, and I've never done anything since. Ever since, I've just downloaded ebooks, even though I do love hard copy books. But I found a different way of consuming books, and this is really sad, because I actually read very quickly. So now what I do is I lay in bed with my iPad and I read a book and I get to the end and I buy another one and download it and read that. And by 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm on my fourth book and I just sit there and download them and read them and download them, read them and download and read them until I think I better go to bed, you know, I better go to sleep. So by using technology, it's actually facilitating me to read more rather than less.
And that's really wonderful. Mm. I think technology, you know, you think about studying things, being able to access things, and also people can actually very quickly, businesses, it's a really good way. You can have your own little book that you download. You don't have to go to a big publisher to do that. So
absolutely, yeah. No, the whole technology and reading thing, I've got lots of good things to say about that. But I want to come back to what you do with Reading Fairies, which is the business that you run now. Mm. And the kind of things that you do, and it seems like you have a whole series of things that you do for different stages in babies' development. What's your favourite bit?
My favourite bit is just looking at children's faces when you tell them a story and they're completely engaged. It's not just about reading from a book. I just want to be clear about that. But one of the things that we do with storytelling is we're into passing on a story. So we try to get children to learn repetitive phrases so that they have an absolute basis for telling that story. If we take the story of the enormous turnip, for example, we often, in our events that we do or parties, we get children to join in telling the story. And so by the end, they can pretty much tell that story themselves. And when you see a child then retell that story to another child, it's quite a magical experience. And you know that that's giving them actually a foundation for writing and bringing on their imagination. And that's pretty special.
I couldn't agree with you more. Storytelling is a fabulous, fabulous way to communicate all kinds of things. It has been unkindly said of me that I am want to tell over elaborate, somewhat made up stories. Yeah, but I didn't mean to claim that I scored the winning goal in the World Cup final the other night. It just slipped out. I'm sorry about that. But I would have done if I'd have been there. Anyway, the ability to tell stories is a fabulous resource. And in almost every culture that's ever existed anthropologically around the world, storytelling has formed a basic part of the creation of that culture.
Absolutely.
And it is really essential. Funnily enough, you might hate this, but this is what happened to me. Well, funnily enough, when I was a kid, my mum taught me to read before I went to school.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
No, it's what happened afterwards that was a problem. As I said, I'm one of those people that can actually read quite quickly and always have been able to and retain the information. And the problem was when I was at primary school, they had a series of books. I don't know if you remember them. You're probably too young. They were called Blue Book 1, Green Book 1, Blue Book 2. And you went through these series until you got to the end of the books. And so there were 6 blue books and 6 green books that went in sequence. Well, I read so quickly that by the end of the first year, I'd read all 6 books. So being a state school, what did they do? They told me to start again. By the time I came to leave school, I was on my 7th cycle of the books and back at number 1. So when I went to senior school, they sent a reading thing with me that said he's never got past book number 1 because he's still on it. So when I got there, they put me into remedial reading lessons.
I think that's some... I have to say, one of the things that I'd say about that, first of all, because... I have to, is that I don't think that's necessarily a state school issue. I think it's actually poor teaching. I think that actually it's something that I know for some teachers it's quite complicated, but at the moment there's a real focus on every child developing. And so I think you'd find if you were a child now, I would like to hope it's quite a new thing that they're going to actually be, you know, progression throughout your school career is now very seriously going to be targeted on an individual basis. And I think that's hopefully going to solve all of this.
The other interesting thing is what you're doing now is so fundamental to how the 11 plus is changing. This year is the first time it changes, and it's all about reading and comprehension, which is not something that you can train a child for. It comes from,
I think, that's
practice.
And I should just say that our classes are from birth to 5, you know, 50% of a child's learning happens in those first 5 years of life. And by age 3, 80% of our adult brains are fully formed. And it's absolutely paramount. I mean, it's so clear that what you do right from those first few days and you know, is so critical. And I suppose going back to what you said about what do you like, I like as well the fact that, you know, I'm doing a business where we know something and we just want to pass the information
absolutely,
on.
and it has such a noticeable benefit in terms of, you know, it's one of those businesses that has a lot of different elements to it, I suspect. You know, the kids themselves enjoy it.
They're just having fun.
They're having fun doing something that they're enjoying
whilst
learning a skill without even realising they're learning it, which is important. It's good for parents. Because it helps parents develop their own children and feel comfortable about what they're doing. So it has all kinds of dimensions to it that make it really work. And I think it's a fabulous thing that you're doing.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about how you know, the mechanics about how you do this. I mean, do people come to you? Do you go to them? How does it work?
No, it's a very good question. We are a startup. So the formal classes start in September. Within the next couple of weeks, our website will go up with opportunities opportunities to book, and we're just going to do a few events in Kent and in London initially, but obviously we're quite ambitious and we've got plans to grow to wherever it takes us. But what you'll be able to do is, if you go onto Facebook / Reading Fairy, or you can go onto the website and click onto the newsletter, you can actually just sign up, so that as soon as we've got more information about where the classes are going to take place, we can let you know. But basically what happens is, you sign up, you pay for a half term. It's a lot of families will be very familiar with the way that it works. You pay for a half term up front, and that then gives you however many lessons for those dates. And basically you start from birth and you just keep going until your child is ready to go to school. And all the way along there's opportunities for certificates and all the things that you would want. It's very, very, very clear. And as somebody who's been to some classes that haven't worked very well, we're very clear that at the end there would be a little information sheet for parents, just to say what your child has actually been learning, because it does seem that they're having an awful lot of fun. And that's how learning should be.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And my last question on that is the kind of content. What are the kind of stories that you're telling them? You know, come the revolution, and then Carl sitting down.
Not yet, actually. So we would start in with traditional nursery rhymes, and we actually write the sensory stories for the book babies, because obviously those are topic based. So there's an example of one that's going to be, we're going to be doing, we've been commissioned for the Whitstable Oyster Festival to do one, a beach themed sensory storytelling session, which is coming up. I think it'll be, well, the festival's the 26th of July, and I think we're on the Monday and Tuesday and the Wednesday. So you take a theme, and that's what would happen there. So we'd sing traditional rhymes, and then the child and the parents would join in with the sensory experience of the story with the child. And then you move up to Tots Talk and Tales, and there we're going to be doing all sorts of games. You start to get games involved. So if it's looking at roads and that sort of thing, the kids will listen to horn beep. They've got to guess what the sounds are, because actually that's part of like early language development.
So it's all interactive as well.
It's highly interactive. Absolutely. By the time you've got to get set for school, you're doing like what we call physical phonics, and so you're linking sounds and letter sounds to words, and actually starting to try to blend some of them. And there's all sorts of fun stuff that they do. So people can think it can sound very serious and the children are just sitting there, and that's absolutely what we wouldn't want. Although I would say, and I would stress, that it's evident that children going into nursery and into preschool now often don't have concentration skills, the ability to talk effectively and have independent thought and imagination, and those are absolutely critical to what we do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fabulous, fabulous project, and I wish you much success with it. It's one of those things that it's a business, but it's more than a business, isn't it? It's so much more than that. We could talk about this for a long time, but sadly we ran out of time, Emily. Give us a shout out for your website to be, and then how people can get a hold of you on Facebook, Twitter, or any other way you want them to contact you.
Brilliant. So the website is readingfairy.com. You can actually go on there now, but we're updating it in the next couple of weeks. There's a newsletter you can sign in, /readingfairy. And on Twitter, I'm @readingfairylimited, or you can follow me as @EastKentMum, particularly if you're a mother as well who wants to set up a business. I'd love to hear from you.
Fabulous. Emily, thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you for all your help.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. And we continue to monitor your fabulous entrepreneurial progress in complete amazement. Not really amazement, because you obviously had it all there when you first rocked up to introduce your son to us, who I guess will be taking over the business at some stage fairly soon.
Age two.
Yeah, age two, yeah. Sorted. Cool. Emily, do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you.
I'll tell you what, Penn, do you want to read another email? I've got a dozen tweets, and we've got another piece of music to play, and then we're going to talk to Stuart, our next guest. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no problem.
Good.
Kent Invicta Chamber. We've got a few events, again, from them, starting with breakfast, moving on to afternoon tea, and then after hours club.
Cool, you could have a full day, couldn't you, really?
You could, yeah. I haven't actually matched the dates, but... Yeah, I think they're on slightly different days.
Stagger from one to the other.
Exactly. So we'll start with the breakfasts. That's 8 a.m. in the morning till 9:30 a.m. at several venues across the next few weeks into September. 17th of July, 30th of July, 1st of August, 15th of August, 9th of September, 18th of September and 19th of September in various venues which range from Ashford, Canterbury, Dartford, Sitting Vaughan and Lenham. Chamber members price is 15 and non-members £20. So that's a networking breakfast, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 events across the next couple of months. And we'll put the link on the website, and that's from Kent Invicta Chamber. Afternoon tea networking, 1:30 till 3:30 in the afternoon. Just three venues on Friday the 18th of July at Audley Moat House, Maidstone. Wednesday the 13th of August, Fraser's in Ashford, and Friday the 22nd of August, Royal Wells Hotel, Tunbridge Wells. Again, chamber members £15, non-members £20. You'll be served with a selection of finger sandwiches and a selection of cakes as well.
Cool.
After Hours Club, 6 till 7:30. No need to book on this one, just turn up. Where you can find your next new clients. This popular and highly successful casual networking events are coming to a venue near you, it says. They're all Tuesdays actually, 15th of July at Abbott's Barton Hotel in Canterbury, and also on the same day, Ramada Encore Chatham, 22nd of July, Russell Hotel Maidstone, 5th of August, Conningbrook Hotel Ashford, and again on the 5th of August, Nucleus Business Innovation Centre, Dartford. But we'll put all of those on the website.
Cool. I'm just going to flash through a few of the tweets, because I want to speak to Stuart and hear all about Stuart. And we've got quite a lot going on and not a lot of time left to get it all in. So I will flash through a few of your tweets. Sorry if I don't cover them in a huge amount of depth. We've had a tweet from Union 23 in Maidstone, which is a co-working space in Maidstone, saying that they're listening in. Justin Dean, who we mentioned earlier, has said, great video shoot for the Kent Deaf Children's Society on Sunday. A big applause to Louise Henley and Sally for Cakes. Louise is the chair of Kent Deaf Children's Society, and Sally for Cakes is just an all-round superstar who organises in everybody in Kent to do everything. So fabulous to all of those people involved. Maidstone Job Centre, for Department of Work and Pensions, has tweeted, Paul, please can you mention that the Maidstone Job Centre have a second live Twitter Q&A on Wednesday the 23rd of July, 12 till 2 in the afternoon, and that's being co-hosted by Go to Train UK and Kent Get Together in conjunction with the Department of Work and Pensions. So do join in that if you want to find out anything about finding work in the Kent area. And that's the Maidstone Job Centre, so thank you for tweeting that in. I've also had a rather disturbing tweet from RPA, who says, oh my God, Paul, you look incredibly young on the TuneIn app. You can listen to this show via the TuneIn app, and it has this funny penchant for trying to match album covers with the DJ that's presented. I have no idea who they've picked to represent me, but apparently it's looking okay, so I'll go with that. And we've also had a tweet from the Vinorium, who say, enjoying a Rowley Gassman Riesling 2009. Stuart doesn't look happy. You've been opening the bottles again while listening to the Business Bunker show. So thanks for joining us, guys. And I did have a tweet here, and now I've lost it. And it was, oh, here it is. And it's from Lisa Settle. And it says, Vanilla Whip, that's me on the Twitter, loving what Emily does. Reading is so important. Grown up around books. Parents had a bookshop when I was growing up. Oh, I think you just sent Emily into paroxysms of I don't know what, jealousy. Yeah. Funnily enough, I own 8 or 9 businesses. I've lost count. One of the things I've always wanted to own is a bookshop. There's only one problem with that. There's no money in owning a bookshop. So it's incredibly difficult to actually have a bookshop, but it's something I really wanted to have and always have wanted to have, and Lisa grew up in one. So thanks for that, Lisa. I just want to read this, then we're going to play a tune, and then we're going to talk to Stuart. Exclusivity clauses in 2-hour contracts are being banned, which is about time. The use of an exclusivity clause in a zero-hour contract will be banned under the Small Business Enterprise and Employment Bill when it becomes law. Exclusivity clauses prevent employees on zero-hour contracts from accepting work from another employer, regardless of whether they are guaranteed work by the ZHC. The Department for Business has also pledged to consult with employers and employees on how to prevent employers from evading this ban and to work with businesses and unions to develop a code of practice on the fair use of zero-hour contracts. It's about time. Zero-hour contracts have been in place for over 100 years. We just didn't call them that before. What changed was employers trying to enforce the fact that you can work for somebody else while on a contract. And that is a no-no as far as I'm concerned. Well, it's now been banned, and that's really all that needed to happen. If you want to find out more about it, there is a website where you can go and look it all up, and it's www.gov.uk/government/news/government/crackdown-on-zero-hour-contract-abusers. But I'll put that link on the Kent Business Radio website so you can follow up with it. But that is now passed into law, and you can now no longer be refused the opportunity to work for more than one person if you have a zero-hour contract, and quite right too. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to play a bit of tunage. You might like this, Stuart, or you might just punch me.
Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, bit of red wine there, huh? How did I ever think of that? It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Mr. Stuart McCloskey.
Thank you, Paul.
Of Z&B Vintners and Vinorium.
Indeed.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show, Stuart. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Stuart and then a little bit about Z&B and the Vinorium. I have to say, just before you start speaking, when I mentioned, I've been mentioning all week that you're coming on, and on my Facebook page, I don't know why it was on Facebook rather than Twitter, the amount of people that went, oh, Vinorium, yes, must go there at the weekend. So I hope you had a bit of an influx over there, because a lot of people were talking about it.
I have to say, I wasn't working, I was on the bike. So.
Ah, right, okay.
I'll ask John.
Right. Okay.
But before we discuss things, I ask the girls to go back to work, stop drinking, and go and do some work.
Yeah, and put a cork back in that Riesling.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. He's going to check. He's marked the bottle. There's a pencil mark on it.
So, a little bit about myself. So, I simply run a wine company. It's in two halves. We have a fine wine division, which is the Z&B side, and we trade almost exclusively in Bordeaux wines. I've been doing that for almost 15 years, and Z&B's going for 9, which is my own company. So we work really directly in Bordeaux,
right,
with all the leading top chateaus from Chateau Lafite to Latour to, you know, things like Lynch Barge, and we work directly with them, all the leading négociants, and our clients are worldwide. You know, we have more customers at the moment in Mexico City than we do in Kent, for example.
Really?
We sell throughout Japan.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm fascinated by this. The customers that you have, primarily, are they glugging the stuff, for want of a better term? Or are they investment buyers? How does it work?
Yeah, we have a mix. I mean, most of our international clients, private customers, are investors.
Right.
I mean, we run a big part of our company is an investment division. So we currently manage about £11 million worth of client funds.
Wow, okay.
So I'm their sort of fund manager. So wine for them is a trading asset. Mm. They're not interested really in the content, or the majority of them aren't interested in the content. Mm. It's about making their money. So, and I would say a big proportion of our customers in Mexico are looking for a financial return rather than the reward of drinking. That said, you know, we have a lot of customers in the UK, some in Germany, that have self-funding wine cellars. And what I mean by that is that they would have given me X amount of money year on year, and my job is to make them enough money that they can pull out half a proportion of their portfolio and drink it free of charge. And what we trade on as a commodity, we'll pay for what they drink and all the duties and taxes, etc.
So you have, in fact, met Jules?
Not yet, but I look forward to it.
This is, sorry to interrupt, but it just made me smile. I don't know if you know, but over the weekend, and this is horrible, and I'm sorry about it, over the weekend, 3 off-licences in Whitstable closed down, and I'm not making that up.
Is that because she's on holiday?
And she's been on holiday for a week, but Spain suddenly announced that they had an upsurge in their economy, and guess where Jules is drinking? Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. So that's a big part of our business, and we just day-to-day trade with other wine merchants around the world. So Hong Kong is a big market for ours, and mainland Japan, as is the UK and the rest of Europe, really.
Okay. Can I ask you a kind of technical question? I think it's kind of technical. Why Bordeaux? What was it about that? Is there something special that makes that more doable than any other region or type of wine?
I mean, from an investment perspective, I mean, there's a small amount of chateaus or domains that you can physically want to trade on. It's not about your buying, it's about the trading on the secondary market.
Right.
And most trading on the secondary market really is around Bordeaux and a little bit of Burgundy. Anything else is a risk. So one or two wines in the New World.
Is that because of its scarcity, or what's behind that? What makes it that way?
No, it's just demand on the secondary market.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, cool. Good. So those that aren't saving it up or drinking it, and some of them do both.
Yeah.
Okay. And sorry, how long did you say you've been doing this?
I've been in the wine business for 19 years.
Right, okay. Yeah, he doesn't look old enough, does he? What led you into that in the first place? Are you a connoisseur yourself? Are you a wine man? Are you a wine buff?
I've been a wine man since 18.
Right.
Not a drinker. I got a book for Christmas for Sotheby's Classic Wine Labels and fell in love with it.
Right.
Hadn't touched wine or alcohol full stop. My parents and brothers are not drinkers at all.
Right.
But I fell in love with the subject, and I started collecting wine. And didn't have a huge amount of money in those days, but I would say a high proportion of my monthly salary went on buying a six-pack of wine buried. Mm. And it was predominantly New World things like, you know, Penfolds Grange, Bin 707, and all sorts of stuff like that. Mm.
Were you drinking this stuff at this stage, or were you still buying it for an investment?
Down. Yeah, the investment side, just I had no idea about it.
Right,
so just personally building a wine cellar for myself. And it wasn't until I was sort of about 21, 22, started actually drinking wine and thoroughly enjoying it. But it's a big journey because your palate can be quite immature and there's a lot to, you know, it's over 3,000 grapes out there. You've got to understand and appreciate the driest of dries, the sweetest of sweets, and understand the whole range in between, to be honest, really.
Yeah.
So you just go on a continual journey, and I'm still there every single day, tasting, enjoying, and learning, really.
Right, okay.
And then, yeah, I got into the wine business as a consultant, 19 years ago, and just worked all the way through until I set Z&B up in 2005.
Right, okay. So Z&B's been going since 2005. You're based in
Bindon.
Bindon. So you're surrounded by vineyards as well.
We are. We're just outside the village.
Right.
So 10 minutes from Bindon.
Right, okay.
Not far from Chapel Down either. So,
right, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I live in that area as well, so I know it very well.
It's a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. So that's Z&B Vintners and what you do. Tell us a little bit about the Vinorium.
So the Vinorium is a new part of our business and the most exciting thing, to be honest, really. And it's threefold. We first started with our retail shop, which is at Mersham Hatch, so just off the A20.
Yep.
And we started with a small unit there, but it's with a real difference. So we have a temperature, humidity-controlled tasting room.
Right.
And in that room alone is sort of 1,800 bottles, ranging from 1945 to current vintages.
Wow.
We have five tasting machines in there. So you can come in with a special card, which you can purchase, and you've got 40 wines available at any one time to sample in store. And they range from a 25ml sample, or you can sit and have a glass outside in our little sort of forecourt area.
Right.
And we have a huge range. Everything in our shop goes into the enigmatic machines, whether that's a sort of £10 bottle, up to maybe £200 a bottle. So you can come and sample and see how good the wines are.
Right.
Are they actually physically worth the money? Well, proof's in the pudding. You don't have to buy the bottle, but you can have a few samples.
Right.
And
okay, that's good. Do you teach people, show people, help people understand what it is that they're tasting? Because, you know, I mean, I imagine a lot of people rock up and go, and they have really no idea what they're doing, and they'll come out with loads of stuff about gooseberries and bricks and whatever it is that Oz Clark used to go on about. But a lot of people don't really understand. So do you help them to understand what they're tasting?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we've tried to take the pompous angle of wine away, definitely, because there's some real plonkers in the market out there.
Yeah.
And that's everything we hate. Yeah. So, you know, we're open for everyone, and we love people coming in. We also run wine schools.
Right,
so
okay.
So we have actually, because we've expanded over the last year, so we have our own wine school up there. So in August, for example, we have an introductory wine course, which is for a whole day.
Mm.
I teach that myself, so you're in there for 8 hours. And it's a lot of... It's not written education, there's a lot of talking and tasting and learning through you know, the physical presence, really, more than anything else.
It's interesting, isn't it? Many years ago, a friend of mine, who was a computer programmer, actually, that ran a small software business, a chap called Fraser Williamson, he went on a wine tasting course, and he got so into it, he eventually qualified as a wine master.
Yeah, master of wine. Yeah,
yeah, master of wine, yeah. And he gave up programming altogether and just started importing wine.
Yeah.
He really took to it as well.
No, it's a fun subject. You know, people have fallen in love with the Vinorium, because it is quite a new concept and tries what we want to achieve there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we want to take that onto the road. So
right,
at
okay.
the moment, Amy, who heads up the whole Vinorium for me, so we're, you know, midway through designing and building our own pop-up containers.
Right,
so
okay.
If you imagine 2 20-foot sea containers, they're being completely converted, sides of them coming off, hydraulic rams. Inside we'll have our full tasting machines, beautifully kitted out with Perspex shelving. And between the two, there'll be roughly about 1,200-1,300 bottles of wine in there with the tasting machines as well.
Wow.
The sides then, when they come up and join in the middle, then become a roof terrace. So then you can actually go and sit up on top of the containers. And just have the most amazing time.
That's a transformer you got there.
It is. It's pretty special. And it's build or stage one of two, because next year then we want to bring in two more containers.
Wow.
And then bring in a restaurant container. And then that would sit on and stack on top of one of the other containers. So you've got a restaurant, you've got, you know, the wine bar, and you also have a wine merchant element there.
Wow.
So it's great, and you can go anywhere around the country.
What a fabulous, fabulous idea. That is knockout. I really like that.
Yeah, it's good fun, and it's the first out there. You know, people go around with these little pop-up wine stores, but we've gone full hog, and you know, Amy and her team are doing a brilliant job.
And what's the plan, if you can divulge that to us at this stage? I mean, where for you is the kind of venue that you would put that pop-up?
Well, I mean, we're aiming for a tight schedule. You know, if it all goes to plan, 1st of October-ish, we will be sitting at South Bank, literally on the River Thames.
Right.
Well, not on the River Thames, but next door to it, for 3 months, right through to the new year.
Okay.
As a sort of semi-permanent home there. Right. And then, in the winter, it will go back onto the Arctic lorries, and they will travel around the UK. So you could see as a, Southampton Boat Show, Badminton Horse Trials.
Right, okay.
But then also the great thing is you can have it to yourself.
Right.
So if you want to, you know, talk to any of the team, phone up and you want 2-3 big massive containers coming in your own back garden, needs to be a big back garden, and hire it for your own venue, be amazing.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Let's not let Jules hear about this. Because poor Gav, her husband, has enough trouble already.
Yep.
To have two containers permanently in her front garden is going to be a bit of a problem, but it will happen, let me tell you. That is absolutely fabulous. I'm fascinated, and I want to come back to this, of what a tasting machine is. Forgive me for this. What popped into my mind was a contraption that looked like a bit like a milking machine. So what is a tasting machine? Describe it to us. How does it work? What does it do?
It's an Italian company, and they're quite complex in their design, and they run on an inert gas. We use a food grade argon to stop oxidization.
Right.
So normally, you know, in a wine shop or in a bar or a pub, one of the biggest problems is by the glass is, you know, sometimes the day after, the wine is just, you know, it's just not drinking so well. It's oxidized or it's just falling a bit flat.
Yeah.
So with these specialist machines, and as I said, we have 5 of them up there, you know, we upload the wine. They're kept in perfect condition, whites and reds at different temperatures. And then you have a little credit card that you buy, and it's yours to keep. And it's just like a sort of Oyster card for wine. You can just keep topping up the value and come and go as often as you want to. And you put the card in the machine, and then all 8 positions are live. So you can choose 1 of 8 wines in that particular machine. And then you get 3 choices of samples, 25ml, a 50ml, or a full glass of 125ml.
Wow.
But what you're guaranteed is brilliance and perfect condition because of the argon. So
right.
It doesn't affect the wine, it doesn't change its flavours or profiles or the structure at all.
Right.
It just stops oxidisation for 21 days.
Wow. And you say these are made by an Italian company?
Yeah.
Wow. And, the mind boggles what the size of a market is for a piece of equipment that's that complicated, and what the rationale was for kind of building it. I know, I'll build a wine tasting machine.
I mean, they've become incredibly popular. I mean, they're not cheap. I think,
each
machine's about 10,000 quid.
Right.
So, and you only get 8 bottles in each machine.
Right.
But, you know, it does a job. So people can come in and sample before they buy or just have a really good, nice glass of wine.
You guys are really serious about this, aren't you?
Very. Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But you're going to see those in our pop-up containers.
Right.
So literally, you know, we are going to be the first company in the UK to have these tasting machines for champagne. So come, hopefully, sort of, 1st of October, if you come up to South Bank and come along with the card or get the card there, you can actually be sampling champagne by the glass. So you could have, you know, just a nice sparkling wine, or you could be drinking crude by the glass, basically, out of these specialist machines.
Wow. That is really something. We're sat in stunned silence here. Everybody's going, what?
You know where Jules is going to be from October.
Yeah. I'm so glad she's not here. We would still be on the air about 9 o'clock tonight if Jules was here, because she would have asked you every single question you could possibly imagine. And she would have had you pinned to the floor by now as well, Stuart, for all kinds of reasons. But that is absolutely fabulous. And a Kent business doing that as well, it was great. I mean, we all know that vineyards and all kinds of alcoholic brewing, you know, from micro breweries are all quite big in Kent, and there's a lot of things happening in Kent, from cider, beer and wine being grown here, and Squarries, Jules was at the launch of their new sparkling wine over in Westerham. Oh, Emily was there too, yeah. I did see the photo. There is a photo of Jules doing the rounds on the internet as well. She got locked in at the end. And there's a photo of her ungainly climbing over a fence to get out. But she's halfway over the fence when somebody took the photograph. But in one hand, she's got a full glass. And in the other hand, she's got half a bottle, and not a drop was spilt as she hurdled the fence to get out. Where from there, Stuart? What's the plans? Where are we going with this?
I mean, we're currently working on our new website. So right. It's a huge e-commerce website that's being built.
Right.
I mean, Maria, who does our design in-house, that's all done and dusted. Again, working very closely with Amy on the branding side of it and the visual look. And then the other girls in the office, Michelle and Gracie, are sort of doing a lot of the deep end knowledge, really.
Right.
And that's going out. Again, 1st September, that's the aim.
Fantastic.
There's a lot of work on that, really. And it's just, we're just going to see on the pop-up, you know, we all have huge ambitions. We're a very ambitious company.
Right.
We'd like to see it going out. We'd like to have, you know, 2, 4, even 6 containers going out.
Right.
And we will be most probably putting in a Vanorum as a physical building into London. Be nice to see it next year. And then the year after that, a fantastic restaurant. But with a difference in terms of the thing that we hate, and I hate passionately, is overpriced wine in restaurants, and it's
right.
just ridiculous. There's no need for it.
Mm.
So what we're going to be doing is we'll have a great restaurant, but our wine merchant side will support the actual restaurant itself,
right.
and people can come in and enjoy amazing wines without the normal 300% hikes.
Fabulous.
So if you want to drink, you know, 40-50 quid bottle of wine, you've got Grand Cru Bordeaux. That's the thing.
I get that that's popular already just in here. No, absolutely fantastic. We could talk about this for a long, long time. Sadly, we're coming towards the end of the show. Stuart, for the moment, give us a shout out for all your websites and ways that we can get
sure.
hold of you.
So we got the Vanorum website. So it's www.thevanorium.co.uk.
Yep.
That's our main retail. So you can basically buy bottles online, one
right.
bottle at a time. So you don't have to buy cases. The fine wine side of things is zmbvintners.com. Obviously with the 3 W's at the beginning. We have a huge Facebook page as well, so just tap in the Vanorium on the Facebook and you'll find us on there. Make sure we put the Vanorium on there, because there's another company in London not as good as us,
mm-hmm.
trying to nick our name.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter, God knows. Talk to the girls at the office.
Yeah, I've got your Twitter handle,
they'll look after you there.
All those other links are on the Kent Business Radio website, so
yeah.
if you want to find out more about ZMB Vintners or the Vanorium or anything that Stuart's talked about today, all those links are on the Kent Business Radio website. So you can follow up and have a look with that. Stuart, thank you so much for that.
Pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you and to hear your fabulous, fabulous plans and what you've been doing. I think you may get a phone call from Jules when she gets back.
Yes.
And I think you may be the prime guest on the next Scoff and Quaff show. I'm just hazarding a guess there. For the moment, Stuart, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Paul.
It's been an absolute
Thanks
pleasure.
Cheers.
I tell you what, we've had quite a few tweets in, but I'm not going to get around to them because we've got not a lot of time left and we've got quite a few emails to read. Do you want to read another email, Pen, and then we'll go from there?
Yep, sure. Next one's about empower your workforce. It's business leaders in East Kent are being invited to find out how they can empower their workforce by working with higher and further education establishments. East Kent Partnership, a collaboration between East Kent College and Canterbury Christchurch University, is holding a free event that will showcase the ways in which it can support local businesses. It's being held at Discovery Park and designed to support business growth in East Kent. As well as drop-in workshops, there'll be an exhibition at Empower Your Workforce, where employers can find out about apprenticeships, venue hire, work placements, mediation, Canterbury Christchurch University's Research and Enterprise Development Centre. It's on Tuesday the 22nd of July, so that's next week, 9 till 2 p.m. at Discovery Park in Sandwich.
Cool. Thank you for that. There's an opportunity to see the actual landing craft used in the filming of the landing beach sequences in the epic movies Saving Private Ryan and Monuments Men. They will be on view at the combined op show at Headcorn Airdrome on the 16th and 17th of August. The craft is the World War II type landing craft vehicle personnel LCVP, otherwise known as a Higgins boat, after the name of the American designer. It's owned by David and James Shopland, who have acquired a large number of World War II vehicles and other equipment to form the Shopland collection. And you can find out more about their collection by going to their website, which is www.shoplandcollection.com. The design of the Higgins boat was based on a shallow draft boat produced to use in shallow swamps around the Gulf of Mexico and produced by the Higgins Industries. World War II saw the US Marines approach the company to develop and design it and make it into a landing craft. The final version of the craft could carry either a full complement of 36 troops and their supplies, or 12 fully equipped men and a jeep. Over 20,000 Higgins boats were built between 1941 and 1950, and they were used extensively in the Pacific island hopping campaign by US Marines. This unique event has a variety of vintage and modern aircraft displays on the ground and in the air, a family event which includes static military vehicles, living history reenactment groups, arena events, military stalls and children's mini tanks and food stalls to make the perfect day out. Tickets for the combined op show can be pre-booked at a discounted price, £9 for an adult, £7 for a child and seniors, while under fives go free. Family tickets are available from £23. To find out more about any of that or to book your tickets, go to www.combinedops.co.uk. I'd also like to tell you about a new venture here at Hagelands Farm, Alpaca Annie's, the alpaca farm here. There is already an alpaca shop here where they convert various bits of alpaca skin, or wool, as it's technically known, into various lovely items like socks and scarves and all kinds of things. And that, I don't know if you've ever touched alpaca wool. It's absolutely gorgeous stuff.
So soft.
I quite often wander down the shop and just run my hands over their merchandise until they throw me out. It's amazingly soft, but it has this property of being cool in the summer and warm in the winter. Really nice. Anyway, they have a completely new line next door to Annie's alpaca shop, which is unique ladies shabby chic clothing imported from Italy at very reasonable prices, and they're now available at the Hagelands Farm, Burmarsh, that's TN290JR, and that's from Alpaca Annie, and you can see it on their website, which is alpacaannie.com. Have you got another email there, Pen?
Yep, from West Kent Networking and About Talent. They've joined forces with Professional Practices in Tunbridge Wells, Cripps LLP, and Chartered Accountants BSR Bespoke, to deliver a series of What About seminars to help you get the best out of your business by giving you practical advice relevant to the day-to-day running of it. It's the first in the series is What About Cash Flow, and it's being held at the Royal Tunbridge Wells, Wallside House, 12 Mount Ephraim Road, Royal Tunbridge Wells, and that's on Monday, that's next week, the 21st of July, 6 till 7:30 in the evening.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Debbie Cameron, who says, thanks for all your tweets and your support. What she's talking about is there's an event going to happen this Saturday evening, that's the 19th of July, at the Ashford International Hotel, and it's a charity ball, and apparently it's presented by me and the absolutely stonkingly gorgeous Caddy Lee Preston. And it's a charity ball in order to raise money for Fields of Life. And Debbie is the head of fundraising for Fields of Life. And Fields of Life is a charity that is trying to provide clean drinking water in Uganda and other parts of East Africa. So the Fields of Life event is at the Ashford International Hotel this Saturday, the 19th. Tickets are a mere £60 for a black tie event with lots of entertainment, and me, sadly. Sorry about that. But there are other far more entertaining people there too. Do please come along. I'm afraid I don't have the website to hand, although there are links on the Kent Business Radio website. But you can Google it, and I know because I tried it earlier. If you Google Fields of Life event at Ashford, it does come up with the booking website, and you can book. So do please come along if you can.
They build schools as well.
They do indeed. They do indeed build schools in Uganda.
And I've got another event here that they're doing, which is the 10-day trek across the Sahara Desert. So,
as you would.
If you fancy it.
Yeah, tell us about it. What have you got on there? Fancy a walk across the Sahara?
The scheme enables businesses to give their employees the opportunity to take 10 days paid leave in order to volunteer for charity. Walk across the Sahara Desert. Someone from the telecare office wanted to go but is unable to, and they're now donating £250 towards the trek, which will be raising funds for the Wellgood campaign, which does focus on the drilling of water wells in Africa, East Africa, for Fields of Life. So if you want to know more, go to www.fieldsoflife.org.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. For those of you that don't know, last week flexible working was introduced. This now gives employees the right to ask for flexible working. It only gives them the right to ask. You don't have to implement it, but they do have the right to ask. And we do have a blog all about it and what the ins and outs of it are on the Kent Business Radio website, provided by the lovely Andrea at 10 to 2 Limited. So do have a read of that if you're at all interested in what the ramifications of the new flexible working directive are for employees. And also, very quickly, Vanguards to start surge of custom build homes. People who want to build their own home will be able to turn to their council to make a dream a reality under measures announced by Nick Bowles today. That was yesterday. He's probably not in place today, is he? He probably got the sack last night. But anyway, the planning minister said he would give aspiring self and custom builders a new right to build, which would enable them to ask their council to identify shovel-ready sites for their projects. Prospective self and custom builders will be able to register their interest with their local council, who will then be required to offer suitable service plots for sale at market value. There's a lot more on this, and we haven't got time to read it all out. There is a website which I've put a link on. The government have made £150 million available to fund 10,000 serviced plots. And there is a website which is www.gov.uk/government/consultations. It's a mile long, the link. The link is on the Kent Business Radio website on today's show. And today's show is number show 182. So if you want to find out more about that, look up show number 182 on the Kent Business Radio website and follow the link to the government consultation site on the right to have a site identified to potentially custom build your own home. That could be fun, couldn't it? I think we're just about at the end of the show now. I'd like to say a big thank you to Emily of Reading Fairies and Stuart from Z&B Vintners and Avinorium, and to the absolutely lovely Penny Williams for helping us out on the show today, co-presenting. Thank you to all of you for joining in. Thank you for listening. Coming up on Channel Radio today at 3 o'clock, we have Kevin Cann with Extra Milk. At 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with his stripy socks and his sporting letter from America. At 7 o'clock, Phil and Jonathan are back. What they're going to do now the World Cup's finished, I've no idea. But if I tell you the tagline of their show is beer, birds, booze and bands, you'll have some idea of what Down the Pub is all about. But do check in at 7 o'clock, Down the Pub, with Phil and Jonathan. And then at 9 o'clock, we have the fantastic Mr. Jamie Andrews with the New Potato Show, all that's good in up-and-coming new and unsigned bands. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. I've been Paul Andrews. She's been Penny Williams. They've been Stuart and Emily. We will be back with you next week.